This is KIXI Seattle, 91 AM, 96 FM. The news next at 10.
CBS News. President Ford in a Thursday night news conference accused Jimmy Carter of slandering the good name of the United States. The Democratic candidate retorts his dim view of the Republican administration can't be translated into criticism of the whole country. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Mr. Ford began his White House news conference by saying he was very pleased that Watergate special prosecutor Charles Ruff cleared him of any campaign funding wrongdoing. The president said he hoped the announcement would elevate the presidential campaign to a level befitting the American people. Asked about the special prosecutor's pending decision on whether to review John Dean's allegation that then House Minority Leader Ford talked with Nixon administration figures about blocking the original congressional probe of Watergate, the president had this response.
That's a decision for the special prosecutor to make. I have never at any time in the just previous investigations or at any other time interfered with the judgment or the decision of the special prosecutor, and I wouldn't in this case.
Mr. Ford said he hoped presidential debates would become a regular feature of future campaigns. He said he felt he did better than Carter, noting he doesn't necessarily agree with polls showing most voters thought he lost the October 6th confrontation on defense and foreign policy. The latest CBS News, New York Times poll of registered voters, completed just 2 days ago, shows voters by a better than 3-to-1 ratio believe Carter won that second confrontation. Carter viewed the president's news conference as a sort of extension of those broadcast debates.
It was a remarkable demonstration. Apparently, he thought he'd have a debate without my being there. I don't know how well I did in the first two debates, but I think I did pretty well in the press conference tonight.
Carter made that observation to a Liberal Party dinner in New York City, adding his criticism of Mr. Ford for, in Carter's phrase, holding a press conference and not answering any questions. CBS News continues following this message.
Miss Armstrong? Miss Armstrong?
Yes?
May I ask you a few questions?
Well, I am rather rushed.
It'll only take a minute.
Oh, all right.
Thank you. Miss Armstrong, I hear you're going into seclusion for the most important production of your life. What's it going to be?
I'm not quite sure.
But how do you prepare for something without knowing what it is?
Oh, my doctor will help me. You see, this is very different from my other roles. Oh, and I must follow all of his orders.
Your doctor?
Yes. First, I must set up regular appointments with him.
Uh-huh.
Eat well-balanced and nourishing meals. Exercise moderately.
I see.
And stay away from all pills and other medications, except those prescribed by him.
What does that have to do with the performing arts?
Oh, everything. The preparation for any performance requires discipline. You see, I'm preparing for a baby. With my doctor and the March of Dimes to coach me, I won't miss a cue. Oh, and I already know the most important line.
What's that?
The March of Dimes says, be good to your baby before it is born.
Both vice presidential candidates have arrived in Houston, where tomorrow night they'll have at each other in a broadcast debate. Democrat Walter Mondale predicted Thursday night that he expects their confrontation will be more interesting than the two previous presidential debates. CBS News correspondent Barry Serafin reports on Bob Dole, the Republican candidate.
Dole has repeatedly downgraded his debate, calling it a throwaway. But he came to Houston admitting he has a few jitters about his confrontation with Mondale.
I'm already a little bit nervous about it. I don't assume Senator Mondale is, but conservatives always get a little nervous the night before the battle. Liberals never get very nervous. They always vote yes.
Dole also said the Watergate prosecutor's clearance of President Ford today should put to rest questions about Mr. Ford's use of past campaign funds. And in a written statement, Dole calls on Jimmy Carter to apologize for remarks on that subject. Barry Serafin, CBS News, Houston.
Two rookie Soviet cosmonauts were blasted into orbit Thursday night from the Baikonur Cosmodrome in Central Asia on their way to a rendezvous with the orbiting research station Salyut 5. At the Kennedy Space Center in Florida Thursday night, another launching, this one of the Marisat 3, the final link in a $100 million satellite network to provide vastly improved communications for ships at sea. Now this.
Have you winterized your car yet? This is Gene King for the Council of Better Business Bureaus. You know, with winter not that far away, many motorists are looking for bargains in antifreeze products. But don't be fooled by so-called inexpensive solutions, which promise to do the same thing as regular antifreeze. These solutions usually contain methanol, a solution which boils away quickly. You could be hurting your car's engine rather than helping it run smoothly. You know, times are hard, but be sure you don't have to pay two prices. One for the so-called bargain antifreeze, and another for real antifreeze when the first solution boils away. Why not have your regular service station attendant check your antifreeze? If the mixture needs to be changed, don't buy just any antifreeze product. Check the label first. And while you're at it, it's a good idea to have the hoses and connections in the cooling system checked, too. This is a common trouble spot in winter.
It'll be the American League champion New York Yankees against the National League champion Cincinnati Reds in Cincinnati for Saturday's first game of the 1976 World Series. The Yanks went down to the wire in winning the pennant from the Kansas City Royals Thursday night, needing a bottom of the ninth inning home run by Chris Chambliss to pull out a 7-6 win. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
Seattle, inviting you to stay tuned for Mystery Theater following in just a few moments.
Permissive era. No holds barred. All the taboos are swept away. Anything goes, and the sky is the limit. Do you sometimes yearn a little for an older day with a rigid code of living and an automatic acceptance of certain standards? The flag, the Marines, our country, right or wrong, and Mother with a capital M. Let's ponder that as we listen to this story.
I don't want it to be this way, Megan.
But that's how it must be, if it is to be. And why not, Hank, if you want to take the risk?
What risk?
Oh, don't worry, my sober-sided Philadelphian. I won't blow any whistles on you. I'll be glad to be your handmaiden. But what will you be to me?
Your slave. Your willing slave.
Remember that. I may call you to account one day.
Our mystery drama, The Living Corpse, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Herd Hatfield.
It is sponsored in part by CertainTeed Fiberglass Attic Insulation and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
A lot of folks say the only differences between beers are the names. Well, I know some people who wouldn't like to hear that. Because for 100 years, they've been Beechwood aging their beer to give it a taste, a smoothness, and a drinkability found in no other beer at any price. Why go to all that extra time and expense? They know. You can tell a great beer when you taste it.
You've said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, headquarters, St. Louis, Missouri.
I got bronchial asthma, but I got a road to rip up, too. So I take Bronchaid tablets. They help keep my occasional asthma attacks away for hours. Primatine tablets, they worked, but Bronchaid has something extra to help get rid of congestion. And with asthma, getting rid of bronchial congestion is really important. Bronchate helps me breathe easy for hours. It works almost as hard as I do.
Bronchate tablets do more to let you breathe easier. Use only as directed.
Dreams. We all seek to understand the many ways in which God reveals his word. God appeared to Ezekiel in a vision. The heavens opened and Ezekiel beheld a whirlwind, a great cloud and a fire unfolding itself with winged creatures within wheels, wheels within wheels. God spoke and proclaimed Ezekiel a prophet and sent him to speak in his name to the people of Israel. God can come to man in dreams and visions and can speak to him in signs and wonders. For your free booklet on dreams and visions, write to the Foundation Faith, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Faith, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
Philadelphia didn't just happen. It was planned. Two main streets, Broad and Market, bisecting each other at the center of town. Four squares in each quadrant, of which the only one we need pause to consider is Rittenhouse Square. To own a house on Rittenhouse Square was to be the creme de la creme of Philadelphia society, and so, by extension, of the world. The Peabody House has been there since the square was built, and the family has never lived anywhere else. Why should they? After all, where else is anywhere?
My name is Henry Gerard Flower Peabody. Most everyone says I was born middle-aged. Not to my face, of course. But I don't think I'm necessarily so stodgy. I'm a product of a very special society by birth and breeding, and naturally a certain decorum must be observed. But even though I was born in another century, I think I've kept up pretty well with the one in which I've lived 79 years of my life, in spite of my isolation ever since Mother died and the other. But before they locked me up and threw away the key, all those people would have been surprised to know that I wasn't at all what I seemed.
Yeah? What do you want?
May I ask to whom I'm speaking?
I'm Lieutenant Quinn, Chief of Homicide. Who the deuce are you?
A citizen of our fair city in pursuit of his duty. My name is Henry Gerard Flower Peabody V.
Good Lord, there are more of you.
The name travels in the family.
Hey, now, wait a minute. You don't mean the Henry Peabody. I mean the son of... Look, you mean your mother is Mrs. Peabody?
I should certainly hope so.
That lives in Rittenhouse Square, the philanthropist-like that gave all their millions to the church and charities and all like that?
The same.
Well, sit right down, Mr. Peabody. Now, what can I do for you?
I don't believe I feel exactly like sitting. You see, I want to report a murder.
How about that? You seen one committed?
That's right.
You know the victim?
Of course.
And the name?
Megan.
Megan? That's all?
I don't know any other name. Just Megan.
Well, a man or a woman?
Don't be silly. A woman, of course. It means child of light.
What does?
Megan. It's short for Margaret in Welsh.
Oh, is that a fact? Any idea who the perpetrator was?
I am the murderer. That was such a very long time ago. 45 years ago. And I'm starting with the end of my life. Perhaps I should start a little closer to the beginning. I was born in 1897 when William McKinley was in his first term, a Republican naturally. In 1901, when Mr. McKinley was assassinated and Teddy Roosevelt became president, I was 5 years old. And in 1915, when the Germans sank the Lusitania, I was 19, which made me old enough to be one of the first to sign up when America entered World War I 2 years later. Mother made quite a fuss.
I just can't believe it.
How dare you, Henry?
It was my duty to my country.
But without consulting me first?
Mother, I am a man now.
There's no need for you to go over to those backward countries with their dreadful plumbing while there's a war on.
It's too late. I've already signed up and I'm of age.
Oh, don't be silly. Jack Pershing is an old acquaintance of your poor dead father's. All it will take is a word from me.
No, Mother.
What did you say?
No, Mama. I can't back out now. It isn't just me. It's my whole class.
Class is just the point. There's no need for
you. I meant my college class. Look, I couldn't back out on Fizzy.
Lambert Fizdale has signed up too? I thought he was going to be a doctor.
Well, that can wait.
And what about your degree?
That can wait too. Mama, there's no use arguing with me this time. I've made up my mind.
Just as stubborn as Henry IV, your dead father. Oh, it all comes from that man in the White House being a Princeton graduate. Wilson. Naturally, he got us into the war. He's a Democrat. Now it's up to us Republicans to get us out of it.
That's not fair.
Nevertheless, it is true, and it's the way I feel.
As you can see, Mother was quite formidable. But there wasn't any use in arguing with her. Usually it was easier to submit with good grace. But not this time. This time I was going to have my way. Mother always reminded me of the joke. You can always tell a Harvard man, but you can't tell him much. Well, a Philadelphia mainliner dowager is in the same boat. You see, 3 years of college, my army service, and then back to college to graduate, taught me that what was inside me didn't exactly go with my staid, sober outsides. Funny now, Fizz was absolutely different, even though he planned to be a doctor.
Well, Henry, I'm certainly glad that's over.
What's over, Fizzy, old bean?
The war.
What war?
The one we've just... Henry, are you inebriated?
Not on your tintype, dear, fearless Fizzy of the fighting fusiliers. Anyway, if I were, I'd be drunk, not inebriated. You mean the war we never got to fight?
Well, that was hardly our fault.
Of course it wasn't. Do you know, I suppose I should be ashamed, but I'm not glad it's over, not one bit. I never expected to feel so free and emancipated ever.
Now, that's a peculiar thing to say.
Why? Isn't it time I was? Don't you want to be?
Well, I don't consider myself enslaved.
All right. You finish your moxie and I'll down my beer and let's go over to Aunt Molly's together.
Aunt Molly's? Well, you must be off your rocker. Why, that...
A house of ill repute, eh? Now, that all depends on the point of view. I've never heard it anything but highly recommended, and I can vouch for that myself.
Obviously, you can't handle your liquor.
Oh, stop being such a stuffed shirt, Fizzy. You're going to be a doctor. You mustn't flinch at anything that has to do with the flesh. It's a new world, and a liberated one.
There's no need to be coarse. First of all, you are talking to an engaged man. Second, you're a Philadelphian and ought to know better. And last, you know that Aunt Molly's is off limits to enlisted men?
Well, you're right about the first and the last, but the second question is gravely open to doubt, or vice versa. You see, I now consider myself an American at large.
Henry Peabody, you know what I think?
What?
I think the sooner you get back to Rittenhouse Square and your dear mother, the better off you'll be.
Oh, dear Fizzy, I couldn't have agreed with you less. I'd had my taste of how the other half lived and had lingered sweet and pungent in the mouth and in all the vitals. I'm afraid those first 2 years after the war, I was both an enigma and a terrifying, inexplicable burden to my mother. But I felt that my cutting of her apron strings was something we both had to face. Until that terrible day when her life began to come to an end. Darling, what is it? What's happened?
I don't know. I've been getting rather tired these days for some reason, and... Henry, help me up. Oh, this is most unseemly.
Mama, what is it?
I don't know. Oh, it's just like Dr. Parker Godwin to go and die on me. At my age, I'm much too old to start with another doctor.
Mama, I won't let you not have one. Tell you what, I'll call Fizzy. He can give you a look-see.
Lambert Fizdale? Oh, but he's only a boy, like you.
You may not have noticed, but boys tend to grow up. Fizzy just passed his exams. He's been at Pennsylvania for his internship. At least he could sort of talk things over with you.
Well, perhaps it would be in a matter of speaking, keeping things in the family. Why don't we ask him to tea? Say tomorrow or the next day?
And Fizzy came to tea, very proper, in a pearl gray suit with a lavender tie and linen spats. Mother had what they have a name for nowadays, myasthenia gravis. Terminal and progressively more and more limiting, needing almost constant nursing and supportive care. And most important of all, affection, cheer, and love to keep the spirits up and the feeling of despair down. I had found a kind of freedom, only to lose it for the next 10 years or so, and I have never regretted it. Because in a peculiar way, it's how I found the woman in my life. I suppose the only thing that kept me reasonably sane through those years, outside of the bottle, was Aunt Molly and her various demi-mondaines. I was on my way there across Rittenhouse Square that evening when all of a sudden...
Oh, I'm sorry. I haven't had much practice.
You mean in knocking people down? Here, let me help you up.
Oh, no. No, thank you. No. Oh, I meant in riding a bicycle.
Well, I should think not. Are you hurt?
Oh, no. I never get hurt. Oh, but you, sir, are you?
I don't think so, Miss...
My name is Megan.
Miss Megan?
No. Megan. Just Megan.
I was wounded to the heart, stricken with love at first sight. Oh, Megan. Megan. You're a taste in my mouth like spring strawberries, a smell like early hyacinths. A sound in my ears of my blood coursing through my veins. You are the beginning and the end. A symbol of life and death. Yours and mine together. You are the best thing that ever happened to me. And the worst. I cannot think of you as evil. And yet, you were born to destroy.
Megan. A strange and lovely name to taste on the tongue. Who was she? Where did she come from, suddenly? And how was she to affect the life of a man wrapped in a cocoon from which he ached to escape? I shall return shortly with Act Two.
To get your car started this winter, start getting it in shape right now with auto supplies from True Value Hardware Stores. Hi, Pat Summerall to tell you about those featured in their Winter Driving Values ad in this month's Popular Science magazine. For example, the TrueTest Lifetime Battery. It still puts out 5,000 watts of power even at 0 degrees Fahrenheit, so you can be sure your car will start on cold mornings. And it comes with a lifetime guarantee. Add Gold Eagle Gummer Chaser to your car's gas tank or carburetor to protect the engine against icing and stop stalling. A pint is just 88 cents. And winter can be just as hard on your car's body as it is on your own. So protect your car with a Duro Rust Proofing Kit, just $9.99. It includes everything you need to prevent rust, both inside and out. So see these winter driving values in this month's Popular Science magazine and get them at participating True Value hardware stores. Remember, True Value, more than just a name, it's their way of doing business.
Where are they now, Arnie?
Middle of the third quarter.
Well, if the game goes into overtime, us germs really get our kicks. Just look at them leftovers.
Yeah, lucky for us, Salmonella. These people didn't clear the table before the game started.
Wait till we finish working over that chicken.
That's what they get for leaving it out for 2 hours at room temperature.
Will us germs ever score? Uh-oh.
What?
Here comes trouble.
Come on, honey. We've got to get this table cleared and the food put away.
Okay.
Oh, no. Interference.
They know their defense, Arnie.
Gee, I'm sure glad we learned about the temperature trouble zone for germs growing on meat.
Trouble zone? That's between 40 degrees and 140, right?
Sal, let's make a quick pass to the kitchen. Maybe we can find some dirty platters and utensils.
Boy, Ed's family sure got food poisoning last week. Where did you send off for that free pamphlet? I want to tell him.
Food Safety, U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington, D.C., 20250.
Sal, when they refrigerate the leftovers in time, that's the ball game for us, James.
Yeah.
It was Prospero, the magician, in Shakespeare's play The Tempest, who said that we are such stuff as dreams are made on. But he also went on to add, and our little lives are ended with a sleep. For nearly 50 years, Henry G.F. Peabody V has lived a strange life that sleep has not rounded or death come to still. Where has he lived it and how? That's his story, not mine.
All those years ago, and I have only to shut my eyes, and the memory of Megan is as bright and clear as it was that first moment I met her. Was she tall, short, blonde, or brunette, brown-eyed, or blue-eyed? I can't answer you. Not because I don't remember, but only because I seem to remember she was all, or any of those. She was woman. She was desire. And she was glowing with an inner light that seemed to me to be the answer to all life and love. Megan. It's a lovely name.
It's short for Margaret. And it's Welsh. And it means, if it has to mean something, the child of light. What's your name?
Peabody.
Peabody?
Well, Henry Peabody.
Henry? You know what that means, don't you?
No, I mean, well, what does it mean?
The ruler of an enclosure of private property.
It does.
It does. Does it fit you?
I suppose in a way.
That's your picture of yourself?
Well, perhaps not what I want to be, what I am.
Henry. The name has other derivations. Teutonic. Hagen. You know what Hagen means?
No.
It means fierce warrior. Do you feel fierce, Henry?
I feel a little embarrassed.
I guess that isn't very fierce. If you don't feel fierce, what do you feel?
Hard to say. For the moment, I'm lost.
Then let me help you find yourself. Your real self. Let's go.
Where?
Anywhere. See what we can find together. Bring the bicycle.
Yes, of course. Where are we going?
Where the four winds blow us. Where were you going? To Aunt Molly's, the house across Walnut Street.
What do you know about that?
I know a lot I shouldn't know. And I wish I knew more than I've been allowed to.
Who are you? What's your whole name?
Megan. That's all. Enough. Take me as I am or not at all. No, I know. Let's go skinny dip in the fountain.
What?
You heard me. I'm going. Take off your clothes and join me.
I can't, Megan. I can't.
You can do anything you want if you're only fierce enough, Henry.
But it's insane. What would my mother or anyone say? A Peabody bathing nude in the fountain in Rittenhouse Square?
Try and shed your Philadelphia crust. Shuck it like a snake skin and be who you are. Who you want to be. Want to be. Want to be.
Hello. Yes, this is Dr. Fisdale. Who?
Henry Peabody, Indecent Exposure. Well, of course, I'll be right down and arrange to bail him out.
Well, it's all arranged, Henry. You're free to come home. But what on earth possessed you to...
What happened to Megan?
Who?
Megan. The girl who was with me when I was arrested.
Henry, there was no one with you. You were all alone in your birthday suit paddling in the fountain when you were arrested.
I was alone?
Is that all you're worried about? Have you seen the coverage in the bulletin?
Did Mother?
So far, I hope not. It's enough to send anyone into a decline. Now, my advice is to pay the fine, hush it up, and get back to the center track.
You mean the main line?
If they'll let you climb aboard. Henry, what
possessed you.
A girl who summed up all I was missing in life. And maybe you, Fizzy.
Well, speak for yourself, Henry. I'm not in the process of going loony.
What does that mean, going loony?
I suggest you take a good, long, hard look at yourself and then ask me that question again. Now, let's get into old Lizzie, and I'll drive you home.
If you'd asked me then, I suppose I'd have thought of it as my bill of divorcement, a term that was current. Certainly from that moment on, I was cut off from, oh, not exactly ostracized, but just avoided by most of my acquaintances. I didn't care, actually. I had the long tribulation of mother, and here I'm only speaking of the physical problem of caring for her. And I had this other life, half-life, dream existence, whatever it was with Negan.
Yes, Hank?
I wish you wouldn't call me that.
Oh, do you? Would you rather I said Henry Gerard Flower Peabody Fifth?
You know I don't like that either.
And I don't like it neither. That's why I call you...
Hank. All right. Hank it is. Only...
Only what?
Only I... These chance meetings in the park. It's not enough, Megan. There must be, there has to be more between us.
Why, Hank, are you making a proposal?
No, well, all I meant was, can't we meet somewhere else?
You should shun me, Henry.
Why?
Because I'm not safe. You don't know me or anything about me.
Megan, I want to take you home to meet my mother.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think she could ever see me for dust.
Why not?
I have no family, no background. I'm not very safe at all. You want to take a girl home to meet Mother, take Prudence Holmes or Deborah Williams.
I don't want Prudence or any other girl. I want...
You want what? Me?
Yes.
Oh, Henry, ruler of the enclosure, be careful. I'm very dangerous. Who knows who I am? I might be Branwen, the love goddess. Or from Glencook in the southwest county of Dufed. Should you look below my left arm for the blue half-moon mark of the witch? Or maybe if you listen too close, you might find me one of the three birds of Rhiannon.
The what?
Did you ever hear tell of them? Their song was so sweet that they could sing the dead to life. Or put the living into the sleep of death. Don't I worry you, Henry? Don't I frighten you?
No. You only make me love you more. I want to be with you. Live my life with you.
Are you sure? It wouldn't be easy. I have no conscience, you know.
Is that why you left me alone with the bicycle and not a stitch of clothing wading in that pool?
Oh, poor Henry the Fifth. What did you say when the policeman caught you? Once more into the breach?
I'd rather have said once more into the breaches. But that's past and done. We've seen each other enough since then. Megan, there has to be a way I can spend time with you.
How then?
I've taken a little apartment on Chatham Street. Could we meet there? Or better still...
Better still, would I move in and be there for you to come to?
I don't want it to be this way, but I...
But that's how it must be, if it is to be. Well, why not, Hank? If you want to take the risk...
Risk? What risk?
Oh, don't worry, my sober-sided Philadelphian. I won't blow any whistles on you. I'll be glad to be your handmaiden. But what will you be to me?
Your slave, Megan. Your willing slave.
Remember that. I may call you to account one day.
It was only three flights up. Philadelphia's old red brick houses don't run to many stories. And we had the top floor. Megan and I. Oh, it wasn't what you might think. Just a place to be alone. To grow drunk on the fragrance of her. To live a dream richer and more satisfying and soothing than any distillation of poppy seed or that bitter derivative of the cocoa plant, cocaine. A shield against the world that battered me every day.
Henry? Henry!
Yes, Mother.
Where do you keep disappearing to? You're never about when I want you.
I'm sorry.
Far be it from me to complain, although I am dying by inches. I don't expect you to be at my beck and call every instance, of course, but these long absences, where do you go? What do you do?
I have to get out of the house now and again, Mother.
Well, naturally, of course. But you always seem to pick the moments I feel my worst. One of these days, during one of these unexplained absences, I'll slip away. And you'll never forgive yourself, I hope, for not being here to brush back the angel of death. If I at least knew where to reach you.
Well, sometimes I'm just taking a walk. Or having lunch with someone like Fizzy.
Don't mention Lambert Fizdale's name in this house. He's the one who made a chronic invalid out of me.
Mama, he only diagnosed your problem. He didn't give it to you. You mustn't think you're dying.
I have no intention of doing so.
That's the spirit. You'll outlive us all.
Well, I don't know about that. But I do plan to live out my 80. And that gives me a long time to go.
I felt sick to my stomach at the thoughts that raced through my head. She probably would. And it was an eternally long time. And I was trapped. Hopelessly trapped. I carried a splitting headache with me to Chatham Street, and it was a long time alone with my darling, my head on her lap, her hand gently stroking my brow, before I felt the tension beginning to ease.
Feeling better, Hank?
Yes.
Oh, you've got to do something about it, you know.
Something about what?
Mama, if you want to have me, or anyone like me.
What are you talking about?
You know, there's no use taking me home to meet her.
She wouldn't understand about you.
And if Mama doesn't understand, you can't run away, can you?
She has the money. I have no job. I don't know what kind I could get, but whatever it was, it would be a long time before I...
We've been all over this before ad nauseam, Hank. You know as well as I do. There's only one way to make Mama loose the purse strings.
How?
For her to die.
But myasthenia gravis, there's no definite prognosis. There are constant remissions and the progress is slow. There's no telling when that will happen.
Oh, yes, there is.
What do you mean?
Well, if she won't die by herself, you'll just have to arrange it for her, Hank.
As poor Henry stares at her calm, untroubled face in horror, aware of all the sensual promise of his beloved, drawn irresistibly to her with desire, I think we should leave him to digest her shocking suggestion until I return shortly with Act 3.
I'm Debbie Reynolds, talking to you from the world's biggest sewing machine sale at Singer. Being an actress, the way I dress is very important to me. And because I'm sure you feel the same, you'll love the fashion-made sewing machine by Singer, now on sale for just $139.95. That's $50 off the regular price. It has adjustable elastic stretch stitch, four-step built-in buttonholer, and much more. At the world's biggest sewing machine sale. It's the sale only Singer could have on machines only Singer could make.
If your attic has less than 6 inches of insulation on the floor, you're being robbed every day without ever knowing it. To stop the under-insulation robber and possibly save up to 30% on the cost of fuel to heat and cool your home, inspect your attic. Then see your neighborhood CertainTeed building materials dealer or insulation contractor. CertainTeed fiberglass attic insulation will stop that robber once and for all.
I'm Joan Sampson of the National Foundation for Jewish Genetic Diseases, and I have a health message for Jewish people. Sometimes the games people play can be deadly because they're played with the lives of children. Take genetic roulette. That's the game so many Jewish people play when they decide to have children without genetic counseling. How do they play it?
by not knowing the facts about 6 inherited diseases peculiar to Jewish people. Don't gamble. No child should be born to suffer. Help prevent a tragedy in your family. Learn about these 6 crippling diseases. Many diseases strike particular ethnic groups. These are the ones that we know can strike Jewish people. Learn how they can strike without warning and how they can be prevented through counseling, screening, and testing. Write today for further information to the National Foundation for Jewish Genetic Diseases at 608 Fifth Avenue, New York, New York, 10020.
Murder? Is that what the ethereal Megan is suggesting? Is she perhaps, after all, as she herself hinted, a descendant in the second decade of the 20th century of some ancient line of Welsh witches? Or is she just a Welsh girl from West Philadelphia on a predatory quest for a rich man? Or for that matter, any girl who just is trying to create an air of mystery to gain what? Wealth? Social position? Power? Even today, across that gap of nearly half a century, the stinging shock that jolted me as I faced Megan and her amazing suggestion still sears and burns.
Why not? She's going to die.
But in her own good time.
What's good about it? It could take years, and we're not growing any younger, either of us.
Stop it. Stop it. Don't say anymore.
Oh, sooner or later, you're going to have to face it and make your decision.
No, no, Megan.
Yes, and it will have to be sooner, Hank, sooner than soonest. I told you, I can't wait for life to come to me. It's slipping past too fast. I have to go out and grab it, gobble it up while I can still digest it, catch it before it passes me by.
I won't listen to you anymore. I'm not going to stay.
No, you can't run away from me, Hank. I have you in my spell. You can't get away.
I can and I will.
The faster you run, the closer I'll be on your heels. You can't get away. Never, never until she's dead.
I fled as if I were pursued by the hound of heaven. I was smothering, suffocating, my stomach churning, her laughter ringing in my ears. And then I was out into the front door, stumbling blindly into the street, the door closing behind me. Careless of my usual precautions, before leaving that secret clandestine rendezvous and running full tilt into Fizzy before I could stop myself.
Good Lord, man. Why don't you look where you're going? For heaven's sake, Henry Peabody. Where have you been hiding yourself lately?
Sorry, Fizzy, accident. I didn't see where I was going. Can't stop.
Lord, if you'd seen a ghost. Whatever it is, you're in shock, Henry. We've got to get you at least sitting down for a moment. Now, come on now. Lean on me. I'm taking charge for the moment. Now, go ahead. Finish that brandy.
I'm not sure I...
Do as you're told. You just sit back and let me loosen your tie. There. Let me see. No fever. But your pulse is racing as if you'd had an electric shock. What on earth happened to you?
Something I can't talk to you about.
What are you doing in this part of town anyway?
Please, don't question me.
Now, don't tell me, Henry, you have a mistress stashed away in a little love nest.
I'm not going to tell you anything. I can't, Fizzy. I wouldn't dare.
But it's all in confidence.
I wish I could ask for help, but I can't. There's no way.
I'm speaking first as a doctor.
I don't need a doctor.
Well, then, as a friend.
Or a friend.
And I'm telling you, you do. I don't know what's happening to you, Henry, but you're a nervous wreck. Someone has to help you.
No. No one can do that but myself. No one.
Where is that boy? Henry!
I'm right here, Mama.
Oh, yes. But where have you been all afternoon? I've had everyone hunting high and low for you, and no one could find a trace.
I was with Fizzy. We had something to talk over.
About me?
No, no, Mother.
You're sure?
Well, I... Why, dear?
Because just about an hour ago, not so long after you left me, I had the strangest and most terrible attack. I saw everything double. And my hands and my arms and my eyes and my mouth were so tired. I couldn't hold them up. I couldn't swallow. I felt exactly as if someone was trying to choke me to death. I kept calling for you, Henry, and calling to help me, to save me.
I'm sorry, Mama, but I'm here now.
Yes, dear. You're here. And I feel so much safer. Oh, Henry, my darling, don't leave me alone again.
I'll try not to.
I don't want to die alone. And something tells me I will if you're not close by. Now, put another pillow behind my head, dear. Help me sit up a little. I still feel a little choked, difficult to breathe. Henry? What are you doing? Just standing holding the pillow like that. Put it behind my back.
I did as I was told, automatically. What was racing through my mind was the answer I might have made to Mother's question, what had I been going to do with that pillow? I mean, what might I have done with it? Hammering at the back of my brain was Othello's line just before he smothered Desdemona. Put out the light, and then put out the light. Appalled by the seed that Megan had sown in my head, even more appalled by the thoughts that had sprouted from it, for almost 2 weeks I scarcely left the house. Conscience-stricken and ashamed, I tended my mother hand and foot, resolutely trying to strike Megan out of my mind. But it was no good. Eventually, I found my way back to her.
Come in, Hank. I've been expecting you.
I couldn't stay away.
I thought you couldn't. How's Mama?
What? Oh, she's fine. She seems better.
I'm sorry to hear it.
Megan, you don't mean that.
But of course I do. She's the only thing that stands between us and the life we want, isn't she?
I can't believe you would dare say such things so openly. Take that back or I won't be back.
I can't. But you'll be back, Hank. You'll be back.
I swore I wouldn't. But the pull was too strong. Besides, there was something about the way she looked. Within a week, I was back.
Come in, Hank. What happened to your key?
I forgot it at home. I can't stay long.
Oh? How's Mama?
I don't want to talk about her.
What do you want to talk about?
You. I thought the last time I was here that you didn't look well.
In what way?
I thought maybe you weren't getting enough to eat.
That isn't what you thought. You thought I looked older. And you were right. You see? Crow's feet coming around my eyes. Deep wrinkles by my mouth. Soon the flesh will begin to sag, the hair to turn dull. I told you. I had a fury about living. I have to take life in gulps and savor it in great bunches because I haven't time. It's passing me by. Only one way you can save me.
How?
I told you. Get rid of her.
Again I fled, and the battle raged inside me, tearing me apart. Mother was in a remission herself again, difficult, cantankerous, demanding at her most stifling. That last one evening was the climax.
What's the matter, Henry? You seem so fidgety.
I don't know, Mama. It seems stifling to me. I need a breath of fresh air.
Oh, well, if it were hard to breathe for anyone, it would be me with my condition. Now just settle down. Plump up my pillows, dear, and then you can read to me.
I'll be glad to later, but first, you've really got to excuse me.
Oh, don't go off and leave me tonight, dearest.
But you said you were feeling so well.
I am. But I'm afraid of being alone. And also, I...
Also what?
I don't know. I have the eeriest feeling tonight, as if there were someone else in the room. A cold, strange presence. Oh, now, give me the pillow, dear.
I've just got to get away.
From your own mother? Oh, don't be silly. I'll never let my boy go. Now give me the pillow.
I blacked out. I just don't remember anything. Until suddenly I was with Megan, and her voice came to me as though drifting out of a fog.
Kill her. Kill her, or we have nothing.
I can't. I could kill you for even suggesting it.
I'm rooted too deep inside you. You'd have to tear me out. Rout me out. Dig me out like a dandelion root. You'd have to kill me to get rid of me. And you wouldn't dare. You haven't the courage.
I warn you, don't drive me too far.
The problem is I haven't driven you far enough. I waited too long. And now you see me as ugly. I am ugly. Hideous. If you're ever going to do it, it had better be now while you still have the chance.
This is the apartment where you killed her.
Yes.
You say you smothered her with a pillow.
That's right.
Where is she?
In there. The bedroom.
All right, stay with him, Sergeant. I'll go have a look-see.
What is going on here, Mr. Gerard?
Oh, Mrs. Clark. Nothing. Nothing to bother you.
I don't know about that. I do not like the police in my building. What has happened?
You can ask the sergeant here. Better still, here comes Lieutenant Quinn. He can tell you.
Excuse me, Lieutenant. I am Mrs. Clark, the landlady. I want to know what is going on.
Well, now that makes two of us, Mrs. Clark. From what I can find out so far, nothing.
Didn't you find Megan?
There's no one in that other room, either dead or alive, Mr. Peabody.
Peabody? He said his name was Gerard.
Well, now you wonder, Mrs. Clark, if I could have a word with you first.
He took her aside, but not so far that I couldn't overhear what they were saying, even if it made no sense.
And you're absolutely sure?
Mr. Lieutenant, I'm a widow woman, and I keep a close eye on all my tenants. I don't have enough problems without them. I thought he was a writer, because he came here alone all the time. I can tell you one thing for sure, Lieutenant. There wasn't no woman living there, let alone visiting. I don't stand for none of that nonsense in my house.
Where have you been, Henry?
Does it matter?
I think it does. Your mother...
What about Mama?
Why, she's dead, Henry. The maid called me. She was dead when I got here.
How?
Respiratory failure.
You mean she just stopped breathing?
Well, it's not uncommon in her condition. I just wouldn't have expected it so suddenly. I don't know what you're trying to suggest, Lieutenant. Smothered? Why? Well, I can only tell you what my report will be, and I'm quite sure an autopsy wouldn't change it. Cause of death? Acute myasthenia gravis resulting in respiratory failure. About the other, as a doctor, there never was any woman named Megan. She was a phantom, a figment of my poor friend's disordered brain.
So long ago, nearly 50 years, Fizzy is gone, the lieutenant, Megan, Mama. Only I live on. For what? Oh, I'm happy enough here. I'm not nearly so mad and disjointed as they like to think me. And thank heaven there's enough money. Why do I stay? I'll tell you why. First, because I'll never admit there was no Megan. A man has to have at least one woman to love and cherish.
and remember in his life. And second, damn if they only knew. I believe I killed someone. Smothered her with a pillow till she could breathe no more. If it wasn't Megan, then it could only have been my mother. That's a real horror for which I deserve to be punished.
To quote from Henry Peabody's favorite poem, The Hound of Heaven, my mangled youth lies dead beneath the heap. My days have crackled and gone up in smoke. And when at last the hound caught up, he said, thou dravest love from thee, who dravest me. I'll be back shortly.
It is a magic moment. You are at your Buick dealer's, about to drive home in your brand new Buick LeSabre. It's lean and trim, classic lines. It looks quite unlike any full-size Buick you can remember. You get in. A heady new car smell surrounds you. Your LeSabre feels the way it looks, tight. You turn the wheel a little. No wasted motion in this car. Big brushed metallic gauges look back at you. That V6 engine is doing great. You rub your hand on the seat. Six people could be really comfortable in here. You swing into your driveway. Your wife, the kids, the dog, everyone but the parakeet descends in the car and gets in. Off you go to nowhere in particular. Life and your new LeSabre are great. Maybe the dog shouldn't sit on the seats.
Sunshiner is an enchanting bouquet of daisies and other sun-bright flowers that will bring sunshine into her day the moment she receives it. It's a sunny way of remembering birthdays, anniversaries, or any happy occasion. Your florist can send the Sunshiner almost anywhere by wire. If you say, send it the FTD way.
All you gotta do is reach out and touch her.
Of any society are a pendulum that swings from side to side under the pressure of events and the changing whim of human nature. If we are permissive today, we were equally repressive yesterday, or will be tomorrow. Why does the human spirit always act and react so violently? Somewhere in the middle would be the best, wouldn't you say? But the pendulum never stops there. Our cast included Herd Hatfield, Patricia Elliott, Ian Martin, and Joan Shea. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and True Value Hardware Stores. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
listening to KIXI 910 AM, Seattle. It's 11 o'clock in news time.
CBS News. President Ford has called for a shifting in the presidential campaign focus to serious differences between the candidates now that the special Watergate prosecutor has cleared Mr. Ford of allegations of misuse of campaign funds while a congressman. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Mr. Ford held his first fully broadcast news conference in nearly half a year. We hear about it from CBS News correspondent Nelson Benton.
President Ford was obviously buoyed by the special prosecutor's report absolving him of diverting campaign funds to personal use when he was a member of Congress.
Today's announcement by the special prosecutor reaffirms the original findings of my vice presidential confirmation hearings. I hope that today's announcement will also accomplish one other major task, that it will elevate the presidential campaign to a level befitting the American people and the American political tradition.
Mr. Ford was sharply critical of Democratic candidate Jimmy Carter's assertions during the second debate that the United States is no longer strong, that it sought another Vietnam in Angola. He accused Carter of slandering the United States. He said he does not agree with polls showing that he lost that second debate to Jimmy Carter. Nelson Benton, CBS News, Washington.
Carter, in New York, later replied, "My criticism of this administration can't be translated into criticism of the whole country." The Democratic nominee said he did not know whether he'd ask for equal time from the networks to rebut Mr. Ford's comments, adding, "Apparently, he thought he'd have a debate without my being there." Addressing a New York Liberal Party dinner, Carter called for a four-step quick freeze and eventual mutual reduction of nuclear arms throughout the world. CBS News continues following this message.
That's enough merry-go-round. Tommy, let's go.
Oh, this headache.
Here, Bob, I've got something strong. Adult Strength Anacin.
Aren't they all for adults?
Yes, but while ordinary aspirin, buffered aspirin, and Anacin start with the same amount of pain reliever, Anacin adds 23% more. Then Anacin adds an extra ingredient not found in the others.
Headache gone?
Just like that. And Anacin didn't upset my stomach.
Adult Strength Anacin. Use only as directed.
Oh, will it be, Bill? Soda, shaving cream, or prescription?
It's my hemorrhoids, Mr. Edwards. Pain, itching.
Well, most of my customers use this.
Preparation H?
Well, in many cases, Preparation H relieves occasional pain and itch for hours.
Yeah, that's great.
And Preparation H actually helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues caused by inflammation.
I'll buy that.
Doctor-tested Preparation H comes in ointment or suppositories, soothes pain and itch, and actually helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissue. Now use only as directed.
Inform, a nonprofit organization conducting consumer and corporate research, says the promotion of large new communities in the nation's deserts, swamps, and mountains has deteriorated into the old snake oil racket sold by the acre instead of the bottle. Congressman Morris Udall, the Arizona Democrat, describes how investors get bilked.
These fast buck boys learned that American people have a great hunger for land. You're living in Philadelphia or somewhere, and there's smog and traffic delays, and the idea of your own little rancho out in the southwest where the sky is clear is really appealing to people. But what they do is buy up old ranches in remote areas for maybe $100 an acre, and then they peddle them off for $3,000 or $4,000 or $6,000 or $8,000 an acre. And the people back east who are the victims in this game don't know what they're getting into.
Udall says federal regulations should prevent mass media advertising of such developments unless developers provide full disclosure of remoteness, installation of utilities, and completion of other facilities. More CBS News after this.
Here's the bell class. Settle down.
I have bronchial asthma, but I also have a class to teach, so I take Bronchate tablets. They help keep my occasional asthma attacks away for hours. Primatine tablets, they worked, but Bronchate has an extra ingredient to help get rid of congestion. And with asthma, getting rid of bronchial congestion is really important. Bronchate helps me breathe easy for hours.
Bronchate tablets do more to let you breathe easier. Use only as directed.
Have you got a feeling like you want to break clean? And are you thinking that you've done everything?
Undo it.
Seven up is the same.
Undo it.
Let the encore ring.
Undo it.
Break a standard routine.
Undo it.
Let the encore ring.
Undo it.
Seven.
Seven up is the thing.
Undo it.
Let the encore ring.
Undo it.
Seven up is the thing.
Undo it.
Let the encore ring.
The New York Yankees are the champions of the American Baseball League. In a game broadcast over many of these CBS radio network stations, they waited until the last half of the ninth inning of the fifth and final playoff game with the Kansas City Royals to decide the issue. Play-by-play announcer Ned Martin picks up the action.
And we're ready for the bottom of the ninth. 6-6, your score. Royals tied up the game with a three-run homer by George Brett in the eighth inning. Chambliss, 2-for-4. Littell looks him over. Winds and throws. And there's a long drive to right field. This may be the end of the pennant. Let's see. It is up and gone. The Yankees win the pennant as Chris Chambliss hits a home run. And the Yankees win the pennant 7-6.
The Yanks will play the Cincinnati Reds in the World Series. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
And KIXI time is 11:06. And now back to beautiful music.